Okay, 6 o'clock, we'll call the work session order. The seeker on Lamson Road Cell Tower Extension. There you are. You guys are moving around on me.
We have 11 questions. You guys have all done this before. This is a short environmental assessment form. We just have to answer if there's a no impact or small impact, or if there's a moderate to large impact. So I'll just run through the questions, and I feel that all of these are a small or moderate impact. If anybody disagrees, please speak up, and we'll change the answer.
You want to explain to them? Do you want to? I know what it is, but do you want to explain to them prior to doing that or afterwards?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So this is the project we talked about a few weeks ago. We set the date for the public hearing. So to meet the 5G cellular requirements, there's not enough space on the existing tower to put the antennas on that they need. So they're increasing the height by 20 feet from 125 feet to 145 feet, which is still under the 155-foot lighting requirement by the FFA. So no additional lighting, merely a 20-foot extension on the tower with 9 new antennas.
Al, it really doesn't pertain to us, but where is the country at with 5G? Do you know? They're not doing it now. They're not using it.
Oh, yeah, it's
there.
Yeah, it's
City Syracuse has it.
Yeah, it's out there. It's active. A lot of towers are able to fit them on, remove antennas, put new antennas up. This tower being only 125 feet, they just simply can't do it. So we're getting a ton of these building permits to modify existing towers by taking some antennas off, putting new 5G antennas on. Essentially, they're upgrading every tower in the town to be 5G. So, this is the one that's about a quarter mile west of the intersection of Hendrick Gas. That's back in the woods.
By Henderson.
Oh. Henderson. Okay. Henderson.
Yeah, just west of Henderson Dairy. You really can't. I mean, you can see the top of it from the road, but you really can't see from where the driveway is. You can't see much of anything back there.
Again, we're going off topic, but what about the one on Church Road? Isn't there one like just south of Church Road? Mm-hmm. Is that coming up for?
I haven't seen an application. It will. I just haven't seen a building permit application come in yet. So it'll be within a year, I would say.
And there's one across from Budweiser, too, in that neighborhood.
That one's actually owned by the village.
Okay.
So I don't know, I don't know what the status of that will be. That's inside of the village. But I would imagine that they'll do the same thing, swap out antennas on that one and put new antennas up. Anything else? All right. So, will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land?
No.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community?
No.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area?
No.
No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkways?
No. No.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy as it fails to incorporate reasonable, available energy conservation and renewable energy opportunities?
No.
Will the proposed action impact existing public-private water supplies, public-private wastewater treatment facilities?
No.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources?
No.
Will the proposed action result in adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, fauna?
No.
Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems?
Nope.
Will the proposed action create a hazard to the environmental resources or human health?
Nope.
No.
That's it. And then...
because there's no... I mean, with that, there's nothing additional, no...
It's an extension on the top.
Yeah, so no, but I mean, when you're talking about, there's no health issues with that 5G, right?
No.
Nothing
no,
with that.
No, it's Jeff? The difference in 5G.
Our expert?
I was going to say, my understanding of the difference in 5G is purely transmission speed.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's purely okay. Transmission speed. It's not a, no new radio frequency. It's purely the speed at which the antennas can process the data that's being sent to your phone and being received from your phone. Yeah. But it's the same, you know, radio frequency completely, is my understanding.
More people using the bandwidth, you're going to have to upgrade it.
Yeah.
You know, make it faster.
So that's all it does. It just increases the amount of people that can use it.
Yep.
Okay.
On our resolution to approve it, I just included the fact that this will not have a negative effect on the environment, so that's our negative declaration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just have to have you sign this, the part three of it, Bob, after we pass that resolution.
Okay. That's the only thing we have on there, but when one of the things that we should be considering, and Al and I have been talking about some things moving forward when we get that grant money. Now, I did follow up to see if we could use it for the park, and I'm fairly certain we can use it for the park to make that necessary changes to where the Nosewich property is to turn that into a usable field. What else we can use it for over there, I don't know, but we also have that issue with water main, and we can definitely use it for that, the water main going under the fireside end. That, I mean, we definitely should do that. Other than that, the people in that West Genesee Water District are looking at a $600 a year for, I think, 15 years is what we figured. If because there was no way that the town, we researched this, there's no way that the town can pay for that. It has to come out of the Water District funds, even though it was the town's mistake by issuing that permit to go over that water main. So luckily for us, and then we had been looking at grants, I mean, that was the only way that we were going to be able to resolve that issue, but we got the grant, and we definitely can use it for water and water issues. So, and when we were talking, you said it was about 35,000,
right? Yeah, 35,000.
To have somebody do it. So
yep.
As soon as we get that money, you know, we should sit down, and I'll want to okay that to move forward, because if that ever had an issue, it might cost us a lot more. So that's one of the things that I'd like to jump on right away. But the ambulance corps, we might be able to give out some grants to some not-for-profit and anything that did tourism. So I asked GBAC to send us something if they could use that money for something that's will benefit the rest of the community, and they did. They sent me a request for some grant money in order to help them purchase a new ambulance. Now, we don't have to purchase the whole thing, but you know, that's just something I think that we might be able to do. So if there's other things that, you know, anybody has ideas about or you think that we should consider, let's put them on the table. But so I mean, they're pretty restrictive.
With the part two,
yeah,
we could also include that to do the resurfacing of the pickleball courts, tennis courts too, correct?
No.
I'm saying no.
I don't know. We may be. I asked the question about the fields, and what was told to me was, this came through the county executive's office, that if you can show that you're bringing in tourism to the community, so tourism stimulates business in the village and things like that, then you can use it for that. So we have to be able to establish that we are going to do that. Now, those pickleball courts, I've gotten more calls about that pickleball courts than anybody. And we did open them right now. They're open from 7 to 3 until staff gets working their normal hours. Once they work their normal hours, we're gonna open, but.
Yeah, I was even thinking lighting too for that too, so that way they can have tournaments, you know, as well too, when it gets a little dark out.
Well, these are things that we could take a look at, but one of the other areas that we were talking about was now that we have that pump station going in, or potentially if we move forward with that Hayes Road project and that pump station gets in, this additional money, it can definitely be used for sewers. We should consider extending the sewers down into Lysander and Red Rock, or not Lysander.
Red Rock and Hayes Road.
River Road, or Hayes Road. Yeah, Hayes Road. That'll allow Brick Walk and Melia Park to also tap into that. We could have that whole area.
That'd be great.
With sewers by using this grant money, something that who knows when we'd be able to do that. And that would be, like Al said, you know, if we ever got some sort of
consent order
from the DEC, we'd have to bond for that, but this way we'd already have that money there. It's something that's needed down there. And we were also looking at, we have that waterfront
redevelopment
plan, that $150,000 grant we had. That's just to look at how we can utilize the waterfront. If we have sewers down in that area, that might open up other things for development down there as well as we were talking about Klein Island. I didn't realize Klein Island was part of Lysander. I thought that was
for sale not too long ago,
yeah,
last year.
I didn't realize that was.
But brought up, there's a LLC called Klein Island, or Seneca River Island Company Development Company, I believe, is the name of the entity that bought a bunch of parcels out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that belonged to Salina. I thought the river went.
So are you picking up any, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, what are the parameters? Like, you know, sewers okay, but roads not.
Right.
Like, what do you, I can't parse this in my head. Like,
yeah, the sewers and water, infrastructure, definitely.
So, but what is it about, I'm not arguing, I'm just trying to understand.
What is it about the sewers?
That,
from listening to the discussions, they want to stimulate infrastructure growth, and that stimulates jobs.
Okay.
And that's what part of that is.
As opposed to like ongoing maintenance.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
You can't pay down debt service. You can't do maintenance with it. They want to stimulate jobs and stimulate the economy. That's what that's for. That's why when they talk about if you have a not-for-profit that lost money because of COVID, they're allowing some of that money to go to those not-for-profit to help them recoup some of those costs. Now, I'm not sure what the criteria is with that. We haven't.
So don't get me wrong. I think going under, you know, that water line you were talking about, that would be fantastic to get that done. But how does that fit into the program? What is it about that water line that says that's an okay project?
Water and sewer. It stimulates the economy.
It does.
So it
puts people back to work.
Infrastructure too. It can't
be infrastructure.
So,
right.
And we're going to do a new connection point, so we got a loop into the system, so it builds system resiliency. So we'll have a new connection point into the system. So we'll still have our connection point at the north. We'll just disconnect that one piece of the system.
What about and again, if we're brainstorming for the next 5 minutes, what about the Seneca River Trail?
That's not sewer or water related. I suppose you might be able to say it's tourism related.
Well, it's definitely tourism related because it's part of. It would eventually become part of the Erie Canal Trail system that goes from Albany to Buffalo, because you can connect, you know, at the new Lake Loop Trail that's in, obviously, Onondaga Lake Park, and then it would connect to that trail coming all the way up to Lysander. So.
Well, these are all things that, yeah, I mean, we're going to have to justify it, and we got to make sure that we're right. If we aren't right, we're going to have to pay the money back. That's one of the things. So before we do anything, you know, when we come up with these ideas, I'm going to get as much.
You have to get a green light.
Yeah, you're going to get a green light from the county executive, but if there's any question, we could call Schumer's office. So Schumer's office is the one, but that's what the county executive's office is. They are the conduit through Senator Schumer's office that is facilitating this money in some way. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I mean, I've only been asking questions like everybody else, but the county is using some of the money, it's my understanding, to build a multi-purpose sports complex.
Yeah, I don't understand.
So, well, tourism, you know, that's why if you have something that can stimulate tourism, like I told the Chamber of Commerce to send us some money, because that's their job, to stimulate commerce and tourism in the village. But when we get the money, we'll see what our portion is. I'm thinking it's somewhere around $1.9 to $2 million, because like I said, some of the money has to go to the village, depending on the percentage of population on this side of the river, because they'll get some from Van Buren. Then we'll sit down and make a list, and we'll come up with what we want to do. But that's what I'm saying. That money, we're going to be getting, we won't see that money until the end of May, I believe, is when they said. They said 55 days, and that was, we had that meeting a couple of weeks ago, so probably the end of May. So we should be having, talking about this in the meantime. But we have till 2024 to spend it, too. So we don't have to spend it right away, but that project I would like to see done right away. So, you know, our luck would be we get the money, we sit on it, and then all of a sudden we have a problem with it, costs us a lot more to fix it. So the rest of it.
Extending broadband into the rest of the industrial park, the Radisson Industrial
Park. I talked to them about extending, because broadband is on there, but yeah. The county's got an initiative, and the county executive said, don't worry about that. We're going to take care of it. The county's going to take care of it.
Okay, yeah. Just
that's what he said.
We'll give him a map and show him the location.
Yeah, because I talked to him specifically about that area.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah,
big
and thing. He said, nope, don't worry about it. We're going to be doing it countywide. So maybe they, I don't know if that's part of their money that they're, because I think you can use it for broadband as well. Mm-hmm. But bringing broadband in. But, you know, I did ask him, and he said.
Yeah, the couriers get federal grants for that. We get $1 billion a year.
Well, this is
a network to bring broadband into rural areas.
Well, that's a problem. I've looked at grant funding for this area in the past, and because it's an industrial park, it's not a rural area, so some of the grants that are out there, we just can't get. So we've got to find some way to fund that.
Yeah, he said they're looking at doing it in the whole county.
Okay.
Bringing it to areas that don't have it in the whole county.
Okay.
That's what he said.
I do, yeah, just as long as they move quickly on it. I mean,
well,
it's one of those things that...
He didn't tell me how quickly they're going to move on it, but he said, don't worry about it, the county's going to do it, so...
Okay.
I mean, if they're going to do it, I think we can use that money for other things.
Yeah, so. Just as long as it gets taken care of one way or another, that's a big one for us.
Now, whatever happened to the pond idea for the spray park? That need went away because we tied into the sewers or something?
That and it was Joe was afraid of the liability of having a pond in front of the park.
Well, I'd like to revisit that because I get so many calls from people that, you know, they want to take their kids fishing and stuff. So I don't know if you guys are totally against it, we won't talk about it. But I think a pond would really be a really neat park improvement. I mean, just to take, you know, you go fishing, you catch sunfish, you know, there's no place to go fishing for kids. There really isn't. I mean, you got Van Buren's Pond.
Here? In Lysander?
Mercer Park.
You ever heard of the Seneca River?
Yeah, but it's not, yeah, I know. And if you can't, you can cast all day. Because we've gone fishing at Mercer Park. And I'm not talking about just my grandkids. It's just you know, a pond is different than a river in terms of the fishing opportunities. So,
I mean, there's, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but there's a lot of need in that park. Before we start, in my opinion, before we start adding other things, I think we should take care of the things we already have. Like we were talking about the one baseball field. I mean, they can't be utilized because it's underwater. There's some drainage issues over there.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, you know, we can look at, that's why we're going to have this new park director. We can throw these things out and he can make recommendations. I can't wait to get that off my plate.
I like to see how he's going to do all three sports programs at once, too.
All right. Soccer, lacrosse, and football?
Start Monday.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get a call from another guy?
Yeah.
Was there any spots? I didn't think so.
Yeah.
He runs that sports clinic out on Route 48.
Yeah.
Not Jones Road, across the street.
Yeah.
So that starts on Monday?
Yeah, FISA starting on Monday.
Person doesn't start till the 26th, according to the motion.
You're right.
Yeah.
But they're using field space on Monday. They've been working with...
Yeah, no, we got, that's all... it's already squared away. Yeah, he doesn't start until the 26th. We got anything else?
Could you just go over item E, which is the why we need a resolution and what's going on in that one?
Pete asked the same thing. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was on board with there. As I'm going through, there's a need to update our policies and procedures. Our employee handbook is the way that it was put together. It has policies and procedures intermingled with employee benefits and things. I've never seen that before, and there's a problem with some of the things that are in it. They need to be updated. They're pretty vague. We're missing numerous policies and procedures, and as we're going through, what I want to do is we have a new format for the policy, so we're going to develop a handbook, and we're going to develop policies and procedures. What I wanted to do was just let everybody know that I wanted to do this, and as we get through, you'll see them. But there's so many. I mean, if there were only a few, I'd say okay, you put the few together, and I come out, hey, is everybody good with these policies and procedures? But the problem for us is there are so many policies and procedures that we don't have. Jerry and I, just the highway alone, Jerry's got
tons.
Yeah, he's got dozens. Let's put it that way.
And they're not frivolous.
No.
We're
putting together one for safety equipment when they're on the highway. Flagging, vehicle inspections, pre and post vehicle inspections. So as these things come up, I want to be able to just put these policies together. And these policies are coming from, it's not just us making them up. They'll come from like OSHA and well-established policies and procedures. And then when we get it all together, we should take a look at it, make sure everybody's good with it. We should be looking at it once a year as a group and make sure that there's no need to or if there's a need for new policies or procedures, we should institute them at that time. And if the policies and procedures we have in place, like for instance, maybe something changed with the type of equipment that you needed when you were out on hard hats or something like that.
It could be a spec change.
Yeah, spec change. We might have to do that.
Reflectivity of something.
And we'll do that once a year, but the policy and procedures in there.
We're talking like vests and hard hats, and it's always evolving. So you gotta constantly look at it and update it.
Don't misunderstand me. I commend you for doing this. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. The only part of that resolution that I don't understand is to implement any policies needed. I don't even know what that means. What do you mean to implement any policies?
As we, like this festival, we don't have one for vests out on the street. So they're going to be going out on the street very shortly, and they're going to be doing flagging and digging and things like that. We want to be able to develop the policy and implement them so that we have it in place. Other than that, they'd be out there really, they wouldn't be conforming to DOT regulations if we would have to wait every 2 weeks.
We'll use that one as a perfect example. I've done the research. Al's helped me with some of the research through the DOT and other avenues in regards to vests, hard hats, the other part of that, signage, things like that are required by DOT laws and rules based on you're working in the right-of-way, the highway right-of-way, you're doing some kind of work there, you're not in a cab vehicle, you're not in a piece of equipment that has rollover protection and glass. The minute you step out of that, you're supposed to be wearing this equipment, so you're visible to those others working and the traffic going by. And it's never been done.
Well, here's the other thing. The highway employee should be doing a pre and post. Not only highway employees, any employee that operates equipment, or vehicles for the town should be doing a pre and post inspection of that equipment and vehicles. We just had an employee that was driving a vehicle that shouldn't be driven, but we don't have any policies in place that says you have to do this before you take out a vehicle, and you have to do this at the end of the vehicle.
Policies.
Or driving the vehicle.
Policies in regards to that will put in place something that says this is what you're supposed to be doing if you don't have the common sense to do it yourself.
So, and really, do not misconstrue where I'm coming from on this. I commend you. I think this is the right thing to do. Is it fair for me to say that a good chunk of these policies or whatever you might want to call them fall into a category called boilerplate? I mean, these are the things you just have to do. You got to put up, you have to wear correct safety
yes
shoes.
Or, yes. So
there's a whole boilerplate.
Yes.
And maybe yep that's like maybe 90% of them. I don't know what it
yes
is.
Like I wrote one form already.
Yeah.
That
so,
is,
yeah, the answer to your question is absolutely, but we don't have them,
right,
so we
right
have to develop.
So I'm not interested in micromanaging or looking at
no
every one of those things, but I guess all I could ask you is if a policy wants to be put in place that is not kind of boilerplate, can you at least let us know?
No, you'll get them all. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, what
maybe,
I will...
Maybe flag the ones that, you know, we want our employees to wear a tie to work every day. I'm just making that up.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But
a dress code policy.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
yeah
that I would like to see, perhaps.
What I'll do is, as I'm doing them, I will send them to you before, you know, and if so you can look at them.
Oh,
but, you know, I don't, with some
it
of these...
It would be wise for us to see all of them.
Yeah, I don't want the boy. I don't
I mean,
want
I mean, there's
no,
no
I'll
vote
them
on
you
all of them, but
you
know,
I'll send
we should
I'll
be aware
send
of
them to you. Yeah, I'll send, as
like
we're doing
the one
them
we wrote up already for,
yeah
the, for the safety
Nancy
of apparel.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I wrote it up, referenced where the laws and rules come from,
right,
right,
listed them.
Yeah.
Now they're going to put it in
yeah
the town's
yeah
format.
Yeah, we have the policies and procedures in a format. What I'm going to do, because Nancy, it's easy for Nancy to do it,
right,
because what everyone's going to have a copy anyway. So as she's doing them, what I will tell her, as she completes them to in draft form, because they come to me. When she sends them to me to look them over, I will have them send to everybody on the board. And then that way, if you have any questions or concerns, you can give me a call before we institute.
That's
right. Right. Fair enough?
Sounds great.
Okay.
And the only other question is, what do we do about David Raleigh's review, the audit of the Justice Court? He made a lot of recommendations of things that were, none of them were major, but they were little issues. I mean, is this FYI to the town board, or?
Which
well, it's not even on the agenda.
Oh.
It's just, it was in my inbox.
Yeah.
Audit of the Justice Court records, and you know there were some problems, but they were again just for the record, none of them.
You know he to, they when he sent it to you today.
I don't know. It was in my
yeah,
notes.
I think that was today. I haven't even seen
oh, yeah
that.
Well, yeah.
Yes, it is. No, yeah. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Dated yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we
must
get
have been after. I haven't even seen that
okay
one. But
okay, yeah,
we are responsible to do an audit of the Justice Courts every year.
Sure.
So this is something that. We'll have to go over with the judges. You know, the judges and Dave and me. So, yeah, I mean, if he's got recommendations, we'll have to see the ones that have to be instituted and the ones that he's recommending, and we'll make sure that the judges know it. And if they aren't mandatory, it'll be up to the judges to decide if they want to do it. If they are mandatory, obviously the judges, they'll comply. I mean, they don't want to do anything that isn't.
Right, it
looked
like
a lot of them were just bookkeeping issues.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. We'll call the work session closed at 6:29.